Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. We're joined today by Patricia Austin, author of Patisserie Gluten-Free, The Art of French Pastry. Thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome. I'm happy to join you.
When I think about French baking, I think about light, flaky pastries like croissants and brioche. How did you tackle the challenge of recreating that flakiness using gluten-free ingredients?
That is really, that's probably the biggest question that I get. So the way I tackled it was over a long period of time and lots of experimentation. And in the end, I stumbled upon a particular flour blend that I very highly recommend in the book. That's from Authentic Foods. It's called Steve's Gluten-Free Cake Flour. And he's come up with this flour blend that does not have gums in it. And it really acts as a cup-for-cup replacement for wheat flour in most recipes. So I started with that as the base in the croissant recipe, in particular in the puff pastry recipe. And then I tweaked it and I added some other ingredients like potato flour to help it roll a little more smoothly, and also added chia powder. So I took whole chia seeds and ground them very finely into a powder, which helped give it more strength and ability to lift itself. And you really get flakiness.
And I know that you've sold your pastries through Wildflower Vermont Bakery, the farmer's market bakery that you founded. Do you find that non-gluten-free eaters have also been excited to try the treats, and has that influenced how you've developed the recipes?
Well, what I would say is that my customers who are not gluten-free will eat something that is gluten-free, and they do not know. They cannot tell. And then they are really surprised by how delicious it is. So I have plenty of non-gluten-free customers who will purchase pastries that are actually gluten-free because it doesn't make a difference. And I do sell both. I sell traditional wheat. I focus primarily on French pastries and then the gluten-free pastries as well.
Some French pastries like eclairs and macarons get a lot of media, but what are some of the more undersung French pastries that people should try, or some of the more interesting creations that you put together?
That's a good question. Let's see. I would say there's a French apple cake that's probably one of my very favorite recipes that is not the kind of pastry that you would normally find in a French patisserie, mostly because it's the kind of recipe that you're more likely to find in a more rural French setting in a small French town. So it's more considered a rustic pastry, or a pastry that French folks would make at home. Many people, particularly in the cities, don't bake in Paris, for example, because there's so many patisseries. They just go to the patisserie and buy what they need. But this French apple cake it's easy, it's incredibly delicious, and I don't know what else to say about it. It's wonderful. It's delightful. I make it almost every week, and it always sells out, and it's a real winner. Yeah.
You mentioned the idea of sort of going every day and getting fresh pastries, which is not really something that we do in the U.S. What are some other differences between French and American food culture, and what are some things that you think we could learn?
Oh, my goodness. The first thing I think of is I really think that here in the States, in our country that bakers would hugely benefit from really, truly transitioning over to weighing their ingredients. Because baking is about precision, if you weigh your ingredients, your chances of success are immediately increased. So that trend is slowly taking place, converting over to weighing rather than measuring. And more and more baking books do have both. So that's the biggest thing that comes to mind. And also, I think, French pastries are so influenced by other regions of Europe. And I think they have a longer history of baking. And so there are a lot of stories and history associated with different recipes. And French pastry in particular is generally very rich, known for creams and flakiness and different components. And I think it's fair to say they're more complex in general, although there are plenty of more simple recipes as well.
What are some tricks or techniques that you can utilize in gluten-free baking that lead to flavors or results you can't accomplish using conventional ingredients? Are there any sort of reasons why gluten-free can actually be more tasty when you're thinking about pastries?
I'm thinking about some of the things I've read where people have said something similar to the question you just asked me, which is that gluten-free baking can actually taste better. I don't know if I would say it would taste better, but I can say with full confidence that they can taste equally delicious. When you're working with gluten-free flour, one thing you don't have to worry about is the overdevelopment of gluten, which, of course, wheat having gluten, you have to be careful when you add the flour that you don't overmix, or you can, make your product become more tough or just overdevelop the gluten. You don't have that issue with gluten-free baking. But I would say gluten-free baking is actually a lot more complicated than traditional wheat baking.
What are the major things to keep in mind, the sort of pitfalls that people are likely to run into and tricks to get back on your feet when you're attempting a gluten-free French pastry recipe?
If I'm talking specifically about my book, which does not use gums, so most gluten-free recipes include the use of xanthan or agar gums. My recipes do not, because of this proprietary flour blend, which uses vegetable cellulose, which is all natural. It has a better binding effect, and it makes things hold together better and rise more effectively. So in my book, I guess I would say, again, I go back to just measuring well, being very well organized. When you start out with your recipe, read through it twice, get yourself all set up, everything you're going to need, all your tools, and then do your prep really carefully, and then get yourself started. But the organization of it is really, really important. Make sure you have your ingredients at room temperature, unless otherwise indicated. Gluten-free baking is not that different from traditional wheat baking in terms of preparation and mindset. It's just more that it's more finicky because the flour is so different. So you really, for example, with gluten-free flour, whether you're using the blend that I use for my book or another blend, you cannot really get away with accidentally, unintentionally including an additional tablespoon of flour because you didn't weigh the ingredient or because you measured and then tapped the cup and settled the flour. So you have to be, I would say, just even more precise.
If you're listening to this, I'm guessing you're a podcast fan. During the month of March, Quick and Dirty Tips is joining hundreds of other shows to get people as excited about podcasting as we are, and we'd love for you to help. Here's how. Think of a few shows that you like, and then reach out to a friend, acquaintance, or relative and tell them why they might enjoy it too. To do my part, I told my coworker about my favorite episode of this ridiculous podcast I've recently gotten into called Hello from the Magic Tavern, and I think she's actually going to listen to it. You can share your recommendation on social media. When you do, make sure to include hashtag TryPod, that's TryPod, to help spread the word about some amazing shows. So weigh your ingredients and be very mindful of the fact that you should get everything set up ahead of time. Very good tips.
Yes.
Patricia, yes. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
You're welcome.
Check out the book, Patisserie Gluten-Free, The Art of French Pastry, and tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.